Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I'm talking about covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So we're going to jump into this first section here on bulldozing the Constitution. Let me tell you something. I thought that I appreciated the Constitution until I went to law school. It does not take a law degree, by the way, to appreciate the Constitution. I do recall this. One of the things that really struck me was years ago. I mean, before I ever went to law school, which, by the way, I made that decision in my 30s. So I was a late bloomer when it came to going to law school. And before I even got into politics. I'm talking about in the late 90s, I guess. I was at a Kiwanis meeting. And Senator Richard Shelby came. In fact, I take it back. I think I had just gotten back from Afghanistan. I did, because he said something to me about having come back. So this would be late 2002. And Senator Shelby spoke, and then at some point, somebody asked him a question about the Constitution, and he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a copy of the Constitution. And I remember that impressed me. Say what you want about Richard Shelby. I mean, maybe you didn't care for him. I understand there were times when I got tired of his big government approach, and I thought maybe he's too centrist on things. But that moment actually made an impression on me. The idea that he carried a copy of the Constitution in his pocket, the Bill of Rights, those amendments that have been added, those first 10 amendments. Listen, when that Constitution was written, those guys, the founding fathers, in my opinion, they were operating on a different wavelength at that point. They were pulling together thoughts and precepts and principles in such a way as for the world to take notice. There are a few documents outside of the Bible. There are a few documents that I believe have changed the course of history. There's the Magna Carta. You know, you can find occasional documents here. The U.S. Constitution is one of those. Nations have been birthed since our founding that have used our Constitution as a model. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It is part of what separates us from the pack, if you will. And there's a lot of things that separate us from the pack. There's our national spirit. There's our willingness to take risks. There's our industrial base. There's the ability for us to put great resources and assets into something. There's our military capabilities. Every bit of that is built on the fact that we have the Constitution. Every single bit of it. If you have somebody who has made a difference in your community, it may very well be because they exercise one of their civil liberties to go and to do. They're allowed to own property. They're allowed to speak freely. They're allowed to have freedom of association. They're allowed to worship as they see fit. They're allowed to bear arms. They're allowed to have due process. Here we go. Y'all, I'm just telling you, this document, this Constitution, it is not at all meant, by the way, to be a living, breathing document. There is a very finite means by which you can amend that document by law. And that limited, finite means of doing so is what has kept our civil liberties in check for hundreds of years. And in some ways, our nation is still young on the world stage, and look how we've grown. In some ways, if you look at like Greece or, you know, Italy or, you know, some of the European nations or Great Britain, you can find history that dates back to time immemorial. I mean, they're still digging up ruins and finding things they didn't know existed because they've been forgotten about. They've forgotten more than we've ever known. But at the same time, look how we've come. It is so imperative that we support and defend the Constitution. We cannot ever lose sight of the fact that the things that are guaranteed to us most of the world doesn't have. They're not just neat ideas. They're not just opportunities. They're rights. And that is something that there are people living under the boot of tyranny and others living under the veil of socialism and some who live in places where they've just kind of forgotten their way, who wish they had the ability to speak out, but they don't, who wish they could go to church where they want to, but they can't, who wish they could bear arms and they're wondering why they have no ability to fight back because they gave up, they abdicated that right. There are people who have no due process and don't understand what it means to have the right to assemble whenever they feel like it. We do, and it cannot ever be taken for granted. And I get to my point now by saying that this current administration may in fact be the most unconstitutional administration that we have ever had. And I could be wrong in saying that. I don't vest that opinion in having researched every single one of the administrations who have preceded President Biden. I haven't. I feel certain there's something that Trump did that probably stepped on somebody's constitutional rights, or his administration did. But it is a calculated effort to consistently overreach constitutional authority in the Biden administration that sets that administration into a new level. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean, like, how many times can he get smacked in the face by the Constitution before he realizes it's real and he can't just avoid it when he feels like it? And it's not just him. I mean, I look at what, you know, what's happening right now. Nancy Pelosi. You got that sound clip, bud? So Butters has got a sound clip. It's a short one. It's just, okay. Trigger alert, it's Nancy Pelosi. Now, luckily, we have not had to hear her, you know, teeth-rattling voice much lately. But I want you to hear this. She couches her comments in the idea of preserving the Constitution. At the same time, you'll hear her say, it doesn't really matter. Go ahead and play it.
If you believe he engaged in insurrection under the plain meaning of the 14th Amendment, you believe he's ineligible to be president.
Those laws, you know, those are up to the states. They have different laws from state to state. I don't think he should ever have been
the Constitution.
President, but nonetheless, there is a view of the Constitution in Article 14, Section 3, that he should not be able to run for president. But that's not the point. The point now is that, again, different states have different laws. We don't think in California that it applied in our state. That's what the decision was made here. But anyway, not to go into that because that's very intricate. What is very clear is that the American people want us to honor our oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
If you believe he engaged
that
in insurrection,
woman is so backwards. She just in the one breath said, "Well, the states have rights," and then she went to, "But there's a view of the Constitution that says remove him from the ballot." But then she said, "But that's not the point." And then she went back to, "We're going to support and defend the Constitution." But then she also went back to, I don't know, gibberish. But the reality is that's what we get constantly when we refer to the Constitution from the progressive left, especially during the Biden era here, is we get gibberish. We get a notion. We get a well, yes, but what are you thinking?
I'm going through the well, but people have made it clear, like, that's the point. We're not a nation of opinions. We're not, the foundation is not built on the democracy of everybody. It's built on laws.
Yep.
The same reason that all of us would look at a guy that we know he murdered this person, they still get a trial. They get a trial by jury, and all of those things also helps protect people from being falsely or wrongfully, like, it's not great, but, and that whole concept, well, the people feel like, no, bro, like, it, that's crazy. That is nuts.
Well, it was Nancy Pelosi.
Well, there is that.
No, well said. I love the part where you just said, we are not a nation of opinions. You're allowed to have an opinion. Your opinion does not carry the weight of law. That's well said. So here's the thing. I did a whole segment on this once. Gosh, sometime in the last 6 months, I've forgotten when it was. But Article 2, Section 1, Clause 8 of the Constitution does require that everyone who enters into the office, in this case the office of the presidency, has to swear an oath. This is a big deal. It's not just words. Oh, Phil, it's ceremonial. No, it's actually not. It's a binding oath. It's an oath to which you can be held accountable. It's an oath to which your violations can result in your impeachment or your imprisonment. It's an oath, by the way, to which you incur like fiduciary obligations. You incur obligations of responsibility. You incur all kinds of levels of accountability. You give away some of your opportunity to render your own opinions because you swore an oath to the Constitution. And by the way, not every citizen swears this oath. Now, we may be held accountable to matters that we didn't swear an oath to, but there's a bit of a difference when you swear the oath required by Article 2, Section 1, Clause 8 that says, he shall, notice by the way, I can tell you as a lawyer, shall versus may means a big deal in the law. He shall take the following oath or affirmation, quote, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. We're going to get into it in a minute about the variety of ways that the Biden administration has chosen to just do what one senator called in an article that came out today, bulldozing the Constitution. Tell you what, before I go to a break, I got one call I'll take real quick. Is that Jeff Rowe from Indiana? He is early. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm early, man.
You are early.
I've got to keep you on this constitutional thing. You know, it's like I say, the only people who can enforce the Constitution is the executive branch. And the executive branch is thumb as a nose. It's the Constitution. And so, what are you going to do about it? And you're not going to do anything about it unless you take up arms against the Biden administration. So
you are so quick to take up arms. How about you take them to court first, bro?
Well, what power does the court have to enforce their decision?
Well, but what the court does is it strikes down their decision. I mean, I'm sitting here with a stack of papers in my hands that says that when you take them to court and they're unconstitutional, it invalidates the actions they were trying to take.
Yeah, but like the Second Amendment, if reading that as a legal document, you as a lawyer, should there be any restrictions on guns or any restriction on arms, basically, because it says nothing about guns?
No. I mean, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, and I agree with that.
But it is infringed, though, in so many places, so how come that's like that? You know, it's basically plain English, but we don't enforce the Constitution.
I've got one right here from December 17th, last month, just a few weeks ago. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach is leading a coalition to fight back against an ATF regulation that would infringe upon the Second Amendment under the Biden administration. They're doing it, man.
Yeah, but if they say, basically, if law enforcement says that we're not going to do anything about it, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, except for, you can talk about elections and everything else. But, if Biden says, you don't have freedom of speech, just look what he's doing to Trump, out of the Justice Department. I don't know how they get away with that, but they do because they can.
Well, I don't disagree with you at the same time, but I do disagree on one point. I think the Supreme Court is actually doing its job right now. I mean, they just took up the Colorado case, and I imagine they're going to rule that Trump goes back on the ballot in Colorado, which is going to undo what they just did in Maine, too. We're out of time.
But if they say, we're not going to follow the court orders? Who's going to enforce that?
Well, but at the same time, if they don't, then Congress gets involved and you have impeachment. There are limited means by which the government, the executive branch, could say, we're going to do it anyway. I don't think we're at that point right now.
Do you think with that many Democrats in Congress, they'd ever impeach Biden for anything?
Uh, Probably not, but I think there's also some right now that are fed up to the point that they would make sure that he understands that he's going to have to do some things differently. I think he's about there on the border right now. Jeff, I got a break, brother. I ran long. We're not taking up arms today, Jeff. Go ahead and lock and load tomorrow, okay?
It's going to come to that, what I'm afraid of.
I don't think we're there yet. I got to go to a break, brother. Love you. We'll talk to you soon. All right, taking the break right now, and we're going to come back with a pretty short segment. But y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more. I mean, I'm talking about bulldozing the Constitution. You got to be ready at all times to go forward with fighting the fight. And right now I'm talking about how do you smack down an unconstitutional executive branch? The legislative and the congressional or the courts have got to get involved. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. This is a total aside. I am totally chasing a rabbit. It just popped up on my Twitter feed. Babylon Bee. I love the Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee cracks me up. I don't know who those people are, but they are like an entire staff of comedians.
They've been doing some good stuff.
They have been doing some good stuff. So John Fetterman, senator from Pennsylvania, the guy who had a stroke during his campaign, who could not complete a sentence, who openly stated that, you know, that he was struggling with mental health issues because of it all, had to go into rehab during his first 6 months in office. People were wondering how in the world he could possibly do his job. And I don't know what his overall status is, but he's been oddly conservative of late. I've also noticed that he's been able to express himself so much better, like whatever therapies he's going through and healing has been working. The synapses are firing better, and it's obvious he's stringing together some pretty good sentences now. Babylon Bee just comes out and says, "Weird, man becomes more conservative as he regains brain function."
Thanks.
On the one hand, I am glad for him. You know, It's great to see somebody regaining themselves after the health issues he had, and I'm still certain we're going to find reasons to dislike him being a senator, but still it's been really something. He's been speaking out on Israel. He's been speaking out on the southern border. I mean, just the other day he's like the poster boy right now for people going, wait, a Democrat said that, when he said, I don't know how anyone can say that I don't know how anyone could possibly say that we don't have a crisis at the southern border. Democrats have been avoiding that topic like the plague. Anyway, all that to say. Brand spanking new in the text line is David from, is it Moton or Moulton, Alabama? Anyway, or Mountain. Anyway, David, we're glad you're in the text stream. Thank you, sir. And he says something like, Brandon says he doesn't work for the American people in Michigan to a blue-collar worker. If you got something on that, I'd love to see it. Send me a link. Gary from Decatur.
Is he referring back all the way back to Biden's campaign with Joe, the plumber, or whatever it was?
No. I think there was a time when Biden himself was campaigning last time, and there was a guy in a hard hat who he pretty much confronted in that. It was pretty dicey. Gary from Decatur is calling into question the idea of the courts dealing with Biden's unconstitutionality, and then he does it anyway. He says, aren't we dealing with the where are we? He says, SCOTUS just ruled against Biden administration's student loan forgiveness program, and he just approved more illegal loan forgiveness to another department, defying the ruling. Yeah, I think the thing is, he found a loophole. He's trying to proceed. He's not getting what he wanted, though, Gary. He wanted a blanket forgiveness. And he is finding a loophole somewhere. I need to go look at it and see how he did that. But it was not the plan that he had proposed. And Bruce from Hazel Green says the clip with Nancy Pelosi says that we're just too stupid to understand the Constitution. That's pretty much what she said, bro. Pretty much what she babbled in between trying to keep her dentures straight. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will take the break. We will come right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this manic Monday. We're covering down right now on a topic that I'm calling bulldozing the Constitution. So I pulled that title. I pulled that title from a piece that I found this morning on Fox. It was a statement taken from a Republican senator, Eric Schmidt, a Republican out of Missouri. He said that recently he thinks that Biden's going to go down as a one-termer, one of the worst presidents in American history, due to, in part, his willingness to bulldoze the Constitution. He went on to say he's really weaponized the administrative state in a way we've never seen before. The idea is that an American president is not interested in having a secure southern border with all the problems, fentanyl, drugs, violence, potential terrorists. Is this nuts anyway? He went on to talk about the fact that Biden constantly talks about Bidenomics in an attempt to tout his economic efforts while campaigning for re-election, but that it's not even popular with people anymore to hear him say that. It's like the worst messaging ever. Schmidt also went on to send a letter recently to the Secretary of the Army demanding answers on whether service members who were discharged for not getting the COVID vaccine would receive back pay and how religious freedoms would be honored moving forward. The deadline for the response was December 13th, and the senator said they would follow up. It's a great phrase, but I think it's so apropos to say that he tries to bulldoze the Constitution. It's not hard to find examples either, by the way. Oh, Phil, that's just rhetoric. Just bulldoze the Constitution. Psh, what are you saying? What I'm saying is it didn't take me long to do the research. I mean, this is what I do for a living anyway. I mean, it's not like I'm not somewhat steeped in the news. I don't have days off from the news. I'm seeing it constantly. I live, eat, sleep, drink, and breathe this stuff. But it's still not hard to do. Ain't nobody out there with a Google who can't find the things I'm talking about. How about this one involving our own Attorney General, Steve Marshall, by the way, from the state of Alabama. Dateline September 14th, 2023. 11th Circuit agrees with Attorney General Marshall-led coalition against Biden's unconstitutional ban on state tax cuts. Keep in mind, we have a 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. One of those bills of rights that we have, the 10th Amendment, literally reserves power to the states. One of those powers reserved to the states may be the ability to tax or to provide tax relief. The Biden administration was trying to deny an opportunity for tax relief. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall announced that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit had denied the U.S. Department of Treasury's motion for a full panel review. The appeal request comes after the Biden administration lost to an Alabama-led coalition of states in a dispute over a key provision of the American Rescue Plan Act that would have punished states for reducing taxes. Here's the deal. Remember back when all that money was flooding out there because of COVID? ARPA was one of them, the American Rescue Plan Act. ARPA, they were slinging money. They were printing it as fast as they could and just slinging it to people. Just, you need some money? Here's some money. Wham! They gave the states hundreds, millions, billions of dollars. Within that, some states, And I'll be honest with you, Alabama did not do a good job of it, but they did do some. Some states chose, you know what, let's do this. Let's provide tax relief to our citizens. We'll say that this revenue is money we got from the feds. We'll use that instead of taxing people at a time when they can't go to work. Wow, what a novel idea. How about there were states that literally waived all grocery taxes for a period of time. There were states that turned off their gas taxes. There were states that reduced income taxes. Now, Alabama did minimal amount of that, but I will say this, Attorney General Steve Marshall is pretty much on the money when it comes to fighting for constitutional rights. And one of the things that happened was the Biden administration went, wait a minute. You can't stop taxing people. You got to tax them. We need to bring some more money in here. Got to tax them. How about no? States have a right to tax or not tax as they see fit at the state level. If you're going to give us all that money, guess what? It became fungible. We can do that if we want to. And the 11th Circuit agreed, upholding the constitutional right of the states to have sovereignty over their own tax laws. So there's one trying to telling states they can't give tax relief. The amazing irony here is ARPA money was apparently designated to help in hard times. So when some states decided to help in hard times, then the Biden administration exercised an unconstitutional authority to try and deny it. It's unreal. How about this one? Next story. In fact, I think what I'm going to be doing is saying, how about this one for the next little while here? How about this one? Oh, here's one. How about this one? This one from CNN. Appeals court says Biden administration likely violated the First Amendment, but narrows the order, blocking officials from communicating with social media companies. This came out in September. Do you remember the whole debacle? The whole thing we found out that old Twitter, not new Twitter, old Twitter was colluding along with Facebook and Google and TikTok and all the rest of them, colluding with the Biden administration, various departments thereof, to make sure the narrative was straight. You know, just say certain things. By the way, the Hunter Biden laptop, take that down. And, oh no, that vaccine, the one that scares a lot of people, tell them that it's all good and take down anything that says it's bad. It's called coercion. When the Biden administration was literally telling Twitter, you will take things down. So a federal appeals court on Friday said the Biden administration likely violated the First Amendment in some of its communications with social media companies. The U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that certain administration officials, namely in the White House, the Surgeon General, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and the FBI, likely coerced or significantly encouraged social media platforms to, quote-unquote, moderate content. What does that mean? Censor. Moderating content. What a fancy way of saying censorship. Which is, by the way, a direct violation of the First Amendment. In briefs submitted last summer, the administration wrote, there is a categorical, well-settled distinction between persuasion and coercion. That's their argument. Well, we didn't coerce. We just persuaded.
What's the definition of is?
Yes.
Exactly?
Pretty sure is just is.
Yeah, splitting hairs.
These are also people that don't know their pronouns, just so you know. They went on to add, too, that they had equated legitimate efforts at persuasion with the illicit efforts to coerce. Well, so, all right, the bottom line is this. The Biden administration didn't want you to know stuff. They didn't want you to say stuff. The vast majority of America now relies on social media for some level of communication. Sometimes it's just to see what's up. Other times it's to get their news or to find out about current events, quote unquote, what's trending. Well, it can't trend if you don't let it. And when they say that Facebook and Twitter are the new sort of the electronic public square, it's pretty legit. Yeah.
And I think there is a line. So did they coerce? Basically, are they threatening, enforcing versus did Twitter as a private company decide to do a thing collaborate in that? And then did we choose to continue to use the platform. But yeah, and it's an interesting conversation.
We the people, you
yeah,
mean?
We the people. You know, as consumers, as yeah. as you know, we you know, one private enterprise, we could not buy their product. We could not use the. We could not use Facebook. We could not use Twitter. But it is an interesting conversation that now we're getting to a point of like, well, now it is kind of a foundational piece of our society and what does apply, you know, as a First Amendment. But back to, were they coerced? Did they come in and say, look, we're going to make life real hard for you if yep. you don't start doing what we, you know, and then to hear all of the feds that have been hired in to the companies.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's scary.
How many former FBI and ATF and Department of whatever. Yeah. Are all now working for Meta and the others. And maybe you said it this way, but the reality is the argument can be had that a private company with its own platform moderating its content, they will argue, and I would agree that I would say that we're past that point, but they will argue moderating content is their right because it's a private sector owned platform. But when your government gets involved, it's a whole different world. Then you've reached the level of unconstitutionality. That's when the government has now oppressed your ability to have a First Amendment right because they turned off the tap for you as a government. And that's a big, hairy deal. Big, hairy deal. That's a good one to take a break on. Take a break right there. We'll come right back. How about this one? What about the Second Amendment? How about this one? What about the vaccine mandate? How about this one? What about student loan forgiveness? Yeah, I got. It just keeps on going. Bulldozing the Constitution. Woo! It's something else, y'all. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Got a bunch of text messages coming in. I'll be getting to those here momentarily. How about this as we're talking about bulldozing the Constitution? Bulldozing the Constitution, that's what he constantly tries to do. Luckily, the Constitution is a pretty solid brick wall in front of that bulldozer. How about this one from December 17th of 2023, just a few weeks ago. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach is leading a coalition of 25 state attorneys, which I believe our own attorney general is in demanding that President Biden's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms drop a proposed rule that violates the Second Amendment. So here's what they came out with now. Now they want to declare that if you sell a gun personally to a friend or family member, that you have now made a profit. Therefore, you should have been licensed as a gun dealer, and therefore, you know, they can propose penalties. Proposed regulation clearly violates the Second Amendment. For as long as this country has existed, individual law-abiding Americans have sold firearms to friends and family. Doing so would become extremely difficult if this regulation were to take effect. My colleagues and I will do everything necessary to stop this from happening. And here's the bottom line. They also point out, if the Bureau was serious about combating violent crime, it'd focus on enforcing laws that are already on the books to hold violent criminals accountable. Instead, they're targeting innocent people who sell firearms to their friends and family. So it's... Again, this is what they do. This is how they operate. I remember back when Biden was putting the vaccine mandates in place. He literally said at the podium, I'll never forget that. I need to find that audio. Well, my advisors have advised me that this is likely unconstitutional, but we're going to do it anyway. Which reminds me of this one. Press release that was issued by Representative Dan Newhouse, Republican out of Washington, back in January of 2022. When he celebrated the fact that the Supreme Court rejected Biden's OSHA rule. Remember the OSHA rule? The OSHA rule said that OSHA, aside from checking to make sure your ladders were secured and your people were wearing safety gear, OSHA was going to be allowed to come into every private business, check your shot records, and decide whether or not you were in compliance with the vaccine mandates on the private sector, and stiff penalties would, I mean, like the kind that would rake you over the coals and put you out of business kind of penalties would follow if you didn't just, you know, toe the line, buddy. Supreme Court struck it down. Representative Newhouse said, Supreme Court strike down of the Biden administration's unconstitutional vaccine mandate is a huge win for businesses. That was a massive win. It was a complete infringement upon the private sector. It literally defeated the ability to have some level of self-determination. Not only that, there were many people that wanted what they considered to be a religious accommodation because the concerns about whether or not these vaccines were made with stem cells. And then there's student loan forgiveness. Whoop, whoop, student loan forgiveness. How, pray tell, is he still doing this? Because in June of last year, by a vote of 6-3, the Supreme Court ruled that Biden administration overstepped its constitutional authority when it announced that it would cancel up to $400 billion in student loans. $400 billion was the plan. 43 million Americans would have benefited. You know what the real issue was? 43 million would benefit and a whole bunch of other people wouldn't. And it was going to be basically a selective opportunity to erase debt that was lawfully contracted. And oh, by the way, backed by the federal government, oh, by the way, a lot of people who didn't get student loans because they didn't want to incur the debt are left standing there going, well, if I'd have known that. President Joe Biden's decision to permanently cancel up to $20,000 in loans for borrowers who qualify would have fulfilled a pledge he made during his campaign. But Missouri and Texas put the programs on hold and asked the justices to weigh in, and they did. The question was asked a while ago, how's he getting around it? Because he's still doing, he's not doing near what he thought he would do. He's done maybe 10% of what he wanted to do. So story here that came out in October of last year. So the ruling came out in June of last year saying, nope, unconstitutional. So the Biden administration, so desperate to buy some people's votes, went out there and found a variety of programs that allows them to operate in a different capacity. So if you're someone who's paid for at least 20 years, if you're someone who has been defrauded by your for-profit organization or college, or if you're a public sector worker and they can do it as a benefit, then the Biden administration has been choosing to try and selectively forgive student loans in those categories. So yeah, bottom line is, if you can prove that you were defrauded by your college and you got a degree that's worthless, or you didn't get all the classes you thought you would, or they didn't apply your loan correctly, then you can get it forgiven. If you have been paying for 20 years, which, by the way, what kind of student loan takes 20 years to freaking pay off? I mean, when we got married, Charlene has student loans. I had an Army scholarship, but she had some student loans. We paid them off in the first 2 to 3 years of our marriage.
And you can finance a boat for 20 years these days, Phil.
Yeah, but bro, an underwater basket weaving degree you had to pay for 20 years? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty nuts.
Anyway, that's how he's doing it, to answer y'all's questions from earlier. And then, you know, the last one I've got as we head to the break, I'm gonna change dippers when we get back. I'll talk about something else. But I've got this one right here. The story came out in September of last year. Bulldozing the Constitution on the border crisis. How's he doing that? Well, at this point, he's trying to do an illegal immigrant visa program. He's selectively choosing companies that he will extend visas to. Like, you know, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, because, you know, they can be paroled into the U.S. because they come from dire situations in their countries. The whole world's dire if you get down to it. You can explain dire by saying you live in England. You can explain dire by saying that, oh my goodness, I live in Germany. Dire. What is it? What is this? Anyway, the bottom line is it's being challenged. And I think we're looking at something that will wind up falling to another level of unconstitutionality. There you have it. I went down the list of a litany of things that the Biden administration has done that are absolutely unconstitutional, despite the fact that he swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Wow. All right, we're changing gears. Coming right back. Continuity of operations. What is that? We'll talk about it. Y'all stay tuned.